All right, Job chapter number one. We're going to continue this, what we've been talking about walking uprightly. And we talked about walking uprightly is walking in freedom, and how the world, you know, the world wants to put a bondage, and the world wants us to conform to what they believe, what they think, and their philosophy of life, and how walking uprightly, walking in righteousness, frees us honestly from those things. And it's a very comfortable way to live if you're willing to walk uprightly. So we're going to continue that. Job chapter number one, we're going to kick this off in Job chapter number one with a man that did determine to walk uprightly. And in Job chapter number one, verse number one, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Eschewed means basically to turn off, to put down, maybe to hate could be even described there. Go to verse number 8. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray, and we'll get into this lesson this morning. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being able to serve you. Lord, I don't take it for granted. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to walk uprightly. Lord, it's so easy to conform. It's so easy to fall down before the wicked and the world and just be like everybody else. It's easier. But Lord, I pray that we would determine our hearts to not be like everybody else. And I pray, Lord, that we would determine to walk uprightly and to stand out if necessary. And Lord, thank you for your love. I pray that you just guide the words that are spoken this morning. Pray that they would honor you and just be a help in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage in the book of Job, it talks, the first thing that we notice, if you go to verse number 8, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And it's interesting that he says this. He brings up one of his people. Okay, God, I don't know, I don't understand everything that happens in heaven, but there's obviously a meeting between God and Satan, and God says, "Hey, have you seen him? Check this guy out." Okay? And Satan, so we see here that God recognizes Job, and we see that also Satan recognizes Job because he refers to him by name here. All right? And verse number 9, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught?" Basically what Satan's saying here is, God, you've put a hedge of protection around Job. Why wouldn't he love you? Why wouldn't he do what's right? And so God basically is taking away that hedge of protection so that Satan can come and test Job, and Satan can come and try to deter Job from walking uprightly, if you would. And I love what God has done here. And if, you know, the Bible talks about God will never tempt us above that which ye are able. And you notice in verse number, and this is really has nothing to do with what we're talking about, I just want to maybe be an encouragement to you. Verse number 12, verse number 11, so the Bible says, "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." Now it's interesting that later on, God gives Satan permission to put his hand on Job himself. Okay? And you know, it's interesting, God never will allow you to be, the Bible says this, he'll never allow you to be tempted above that which ye are able. And I wonder, okay, what would have happened? God knew where Job was, and God knows where you are. God knows what you're able to withstand. God knows the trials that you will be able to go through. And he will never ask you to go through something that he will not give you the grace to go through. And honestly, I think here, when God said, you can't put your hand on Job right now, is because he knew that if Job lost everything he had right off the bat, and he lost his health, it would have been too much for Job to handle. Because why wouldn't he say, well, you can do it all right now, versus you can do this and then come back later? You know, Job had to process. Think about all that Job had to process that day. He lost everything he had. And then Satan comes back. We see this later. Satan comes back to God and says, you know, what am I going to do, basically? And God says, well, I'll let you now touch his body. He's had time to process all this. Now you can go and touch it. Why didn't he do it all at the beginning? Because I think God knew that Job could only withstand so much. And, you know, listen, folks, God's not going to ask you to go through something that he knows that it, with his power, you can't make it through. All right? So that's just a comforting thing out of the life of Job. All right? But going back to what we're talking about, Satan answered the Lord, verse number 9, said, doth Job fear God for naught? So we've got two people here that are recognizing Job. Two personages, if you would. God recognizes Job. And first of all, God brings the subject of Job up. And then secondly, Satan also recognizes Job. So what we're going to talk about this morning is walking uprightly demands attention. It demands attention. Now, when you walk uprightly, you will not go unnoticed. Now, most Christians, for your comfort zone, you're like, I want to be a under the radar Christian. But if you're a proper Christian, it will not go unnoticed. Now, there's two aspects here. There's two people that will notice you. And we see that here in Job. First of all, we're going to talk first of all about this one. But first of all, walking uprightly demands the attention of the world. Demands the attention of the world. Now, we're going to go back to Daniel chapter number 3. And we're not necessarily going back there. But remember in the story, where did we kick this lesson off? Is in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because there's three young men, when all the world's falling down to King Nebuchadnezzar's music, there's three young men that said, no, we're not falling down. And they decided to stand upright. Now, don't you think that they garnered some attention? Because, I mean, you've got tens of thousands of people that at the sound of the music, I mean, it was, you think the wave is cool. I mean, it was an instant down, okay? Except for three young men that were standing upright. Now, don't you think that they garnered some attention? You couldn't help but, you know, everybody's bowing down and you look over and there's, you know, the guy next to you is not. And you know in the back of your mind the penalty for this, okay? So there's three young men here in Daniel chapter 3 that have decided to stand upright, that have decided to, no, I'm not bowing down before the gods of this world. I serve one God and he determines. He's the only one I will give obeisance to. All right, so we're going to go through a few different things here, and we're going to talk about this, that the world will give you attention. Now, this is not usually the good attention, all right? And we're going to see this. Let's go to Job. We're in Job. Let's go to Job chapter number 12. What kind of attention does the world give us usually? What kind of attention does the world give us? Job chapter number 12. Look at verse number 4. This is Job speaking. I am as one mocked of his neighbor who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. So, the very first statement here, I am as one mocked of his neighbor who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. So, because I'm praying, because I call upon God, my neighbors make fun of me. All right? That's because he's walking uprightly. Now, look at the last part of that verse. The just upright man is laughed to scorn. You know what the world wants to do? First of all, they're going to laugh at you because you decide to walk uprightly. That's part of walking uprightly, okay? Don't get discouraged because the world wants to mock or make fun of what we do. That's part of walking uprightly, all right? That's the nature of it. Let's go to Psalms chapter number 11. Psalms chapter 11. Why? What does the world do when we walk uprightly? Psalms chapter 11, verse number 2. Or let's start at verse number one. We can read it. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. At the upright in heart. It's going to happen. The wicked doesn't like it. And we're going to tell you exactly why the wicked doesn't like it here in just a moment. Go to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms 37. Psalms chapter 37, verse number 14. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. All right? There again, one more verse, just it says the same thing. The wicked doesn't like what you're doing. All right? Let me put it this way. The wickedness hates righteousness. It does. It's a common, that's just the truth of the Bible. Wickedness hates righteousness. So if you're walking righteously, who's going to hate you? The wicked are. Okay? Let me say this. Carnality hates spirituality. Carnality hates spirituality. All right? And you can have, well, they're not necessarily a wicked person, okay? But they don't like me, you know, they don't. And this happens a lot with young people. We go to youth conference, okay? Now, do our kids have issues? Yes. I'm not going to candy coat it. We have, all right, every young person is going to have a problem. But when there is a carnal youth group and then you have a spiritual youth group, there's going to be conflict. There's going to, and it happens. You would not, you think, well, how do they know that they're, listen, birds of a feather flock together. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out by watching a youth group who is carnal and who is spiritual. Okay? It doesn't take a rocket scientist. It's pretty obvious. All right? And there's going to be that conflict there. And are they saved? Very probably. I'm not one to judge somebody's salvation. But are they spiritual? No. All right? And there is going to be that conflict. You know, there's some people you're not going to feel comfortable around. You know, I've got a lot of family member that's saved. I believe they're as saved as I am. But I'm not comfortable around them. Because we don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And it usually comes down to their carnality. And I'm not a spiritual person, but the spirituality. Okay? It's a constant battle there. All right? So carnality despises spirituality. And let's go to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, look at verse number 10. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. So there again, they hate the upright. Go to the same chapter, look at verse 27. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. All right? Listen, it's going to happen. So don't be discouraged when there is that conflict. Nobody likes conflict that I know of, okay? Nobody likes that friction that results. But doesn't mean that you bow down to the gods of the world. All right, you keep standing for what's right. Why ultimately did the Chaldeans come to Nebuchadnezzar? Would Nebuchadnezzar really have known that three boys out of the tens, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people weren't falling down? No. It was the Chaldeans came and said, hey, you've got three guys out here that's not doing it. Why did they do that? Because they didn't like the three Hebrew boys. It was because of envy, and we've talked about that. All right? Remember that you will become a target. However, you will also be respected. It's amazing. We'll take our teenagers into McDonald's or a restaurant on Wednesday visitation. And I'm really proud of, you know, all of our young people. Our young men have, honestly, and I haven't told them to, and not all of them do, and that's fine. There's no dress code for visitation. A lot of our young men, they're starting to wear shirts and ties. on Wednesday visitation, okay? And I don't require them to. That's fine. They can wear Dockers and polo. You know, that's fine. And our young ladies, of course, they dress very modestly, very appropriately. And we'll go into McDonald's, and there's two groups, and I've said this before, there's two groups of people, okay? There's the younger generation, my age and younger, basically. Their peers, if you would. And you know what? There's a conflict there. They don't feel comfortable when I bring, you know, it's kind of one of those things, when I bring 15 teenagers into McDonald's, it makes people uncomfortable. Because you know what it does? It shows there's that conflict there, all right? And they should. It should make people uncomfortable, all right? And it's because, you know, it's kind of like you going into some place where all there is worldly people and you're the only one that's doing what's right. You feel uncomfortable. But when I take, you know, 15, 16 young people into Walmart, into McDonald's, we've taken our whole, we've gone on youth trips and taken our whole, the whole group to Walmart before, all right? And we get a lot of looks. We do. And it's, but people are like, they don't know what to do. People, their mind can't compute it quick enough. And it's really quite hilarious, actually. And, but the kids do a great job. But anyway, I got away from it. But there's two groups of people. There's those that look at them with despise them. And then there's, usually when we go into McDonald's on Wednesday afternoon, the whole south section of McDonald's has probably 15 to 20 older folks, like your age group. And it's pretty much the same people every week. And I guess they go and drink coffee and read the newspaper and talk about yesterday. I don't know what they do. Okay, you guys know what they do. So that's what they're doing. But you know what? The young people, yeah, some of you don't. You have no clue. You're sleeping. The young people despise our young people. But you know what you see in the eyes of the older generation? Is respect. It's respect. It is admiration. And they respect that. Okay? They may not agree with it, but they respect it. And you know, when you walk uprightly before the world, you know, okay, there was some people that, you know, the Chaldeans that turned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in to the government. There were those. But then there was a lot of people that was, I'm sure, bowing down before the gods beside Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they looked over and they said, them boys got guts. And they respected them for it. All right? And ultimately, it all turned out all right. And you know what? There was a lot of respect given to them three young men. All right? So, let's go to 1 Samuel. We're going to back. I'm going to show you a verse that's interesting. 1 Samuel chapter 29. Let me say this. One thing that's significant both about Daniel and the three Hebrews is that they walked blameless before all those around them. And this is important. This is important. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 29, verse number 6, and I believe. First Samuel chapter 29, verse 6. Then Achish called David and said unto him, surely as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright, and thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. And if you go back to this story, who is Achish? Achish is a king of the Philistines. The Philistines are the arch enemy, basically, of Israel. You say, Brother Chad, how did David, listen, David had a stellar reputation with the king of his enemies. That's pretty important. And you know, I think sometimes a lot of Christians, they, you know, well, bless God, I'm going to stand for what's right. And you don't care about anything. And that's good in some ways. But it's not just about having the right position. It's right about having the right disposition while maintaining the right position. Now, if you know the story of David here, it's kind of comical that Achish says all this to him. Because if you know what David's been doing, he's been He's in refuge in the city in with the Philistines. And then he goes out on excursions and he goes out and wipes out entire communities of the enemies of Israel. Okay? And Achish says, man, but you know what David did? David, when he was before Achish, he never did anything that would cause Achish to disrespect him. All right? And you know, when we go out in the world, we're going into the world. And we should never give up our stand. But I think a lot of times people give up, you know, they get in the, when we get in the flesh, people don't respect that. All right? And it's important as we go out into the world that we have the right disposition as we have the right position. Demand the attention through excellence. All right? Demand the attention through excellence. You know, this happens all the time. I noticed a lot in children's church when I did children's church. You know the kids that got the attention, honestly? And Mrs. Walton can tell you this. The kids that, I hate to say this, but the kids that I knew the names of the best were the bad kids. I did. I knew their name because, you know why? Because I'm always using their name. All right? And it's, you know, on the bus this morning, Brother Levi, he was using one young man's name probably 20, 30 times to tell him to sit down. Okay? You know, and he's demanding attention, but it's not in the right way. All right? And as a Christian, the Bible says that Daniel had an excellent, moreover, as an excellent spirit was found in him. And we need to have an excellent spirit as a Christian. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're doing well on time. We may not get through all of it, but we're doing. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 14. Brother Chad, why does the world not like it when a righteous person comes around? All right, we're going to look at that. We're going to look at that right now. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Why does the world despise those that walk uprightly? In short, it's because you reveal their shortcomings. That's why the world doesn't like you. All right, Brother Allie, if you know, I did the drywall in my house. And you know the best way, and he can tell you this, the best way to find an imperfection in a drywall is actually to shut the lights off and shine a light horizontally across the wall. What does that do? You know, you can't, honestly, right now, with the lights that are on in here now, you don't probably won't see a whole lot of imperfections in these walls. But we shut the lights off and I shine a light across the wall, it'll show up every little imperfection. And more so than that, this is a neat Bible truth. I can take, and he'll tell you this, I can take an artificial light and shine it across the wall, but if I open a door and let natural, God's light, it'll show up even more than what my artificial light will show up. Isn't that neat? You know how God has a way of, I mean, everything. I mean, he can show up what man thinks, oh, this looks great. And then you get natural light. I don't know what it is. And so those of you that may have done some auto painting, natural light is unbeatable for showing up imperfections, okay? And God has a way of, when that light comes in, it shows up imperfections. We can go to Isaiah, and the Bible says that they're trying to, I don't have the verse here, but they basically, it says they're hiding in the dark so that God can't see them, see the evil that they're doing. Men love darkness, and let's go there. John chapter number 3. Let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse number 19. And this is the condemnation, John 3:19, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What does a person, you know, Bible, we first read that God instructed us to be a light, that first of all, it's set on a hill, and a light that's not hid under a bushel. And then it says, you know, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But when that light cometh, it shows forth, it manifests those wrong things. The things that people are... Why is there a conflict, Brother Chad, at youth conferences sometimes when you've got, not even our kids, but you've got a good group of young people and then a group of young people that's carnal. Why is there a conflict? Because it shows forth the other's shortcomings. And that's, you know, when you go to work, the world in general, you know, most guys don't, a lot of workplaces, not all, but a lot of workplaces don't like it when a Christian shows up to work. You know why? It's because as if you're a Christian and you're working the way a Christian should, you're going to be a hard worker and you're going to show up. Why don't they like it? Because you're going to show up their shortcomings as far as work. Okay? And that's why a lot of times they don't like you, is because you're revealing things in their life that they don't want to be made known. Okay? It's true in a lot of different things. Those that don't dress like don't like it when you show up, because there's something in the back of people's minds. Hey, man, okay, so they're dressed properly and I'm not dressed right, and they don't like that. Okay? You don't have to get upset and you don't have to fall down. All right? That, you know what that is? It's conviction. It's conviction. Carnality despises spirituality. Why? Because it's conviction. It's conviction. So don't let that deter you. Amos chapter, I'll just read this. It'll take you forever to get to Amos. Amos chapter 5, verse number 10, the Bible says, "They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speak uprightly." And, you know, that's what the devil does. That's what the world does. That's what the world does. Now, we got through that. I'll give you this, and we'll probably have to continue it next week. Just like the eyes of all the world respect you. Now, there's going to be some that despise you, okay? But honestly, it's like I tell young people, whose opinion are you trying to get the approval of? Amen. Whose opinion? Do you want, you know, we drove through Linton yesterday after the teen visitation, and I think it's right beside, is it Subway or the Grill? It's right beside the Grill. There's like an empty parking lot, and everybody, all the guys park, you know, and then they sit on the back of their cars and they act really cool. Me and Travis, I dropped some kids off. This is hilarious. You'll have to ask Travis about it. I dropped some kids off Friday night after the teen thing. I had some boys in Sullivan I had to drop off, so I just took Travis home on the way. And so I'm coming into the square in Sullivan, okay, and I'm never there on a Friday night, all right? But there is a line of cars. This is their definition of cool, driving around the square in Sullivan. So you know what Brother Chad did? I got in the line. I did. I got in the line. I said, "Hey, Travis, you can tell everybody that we drove around the square in Sullivan on Friday night." And we rolled our windows down, and I turned my music up, and we're playing, you know, "He's Still on the Throne," or I don't remember what it was. And you should, I'm dead serious. First of all, it's a truck they're not used to. So it automatically, and my truck, for a lot of these type of guys, it will draw attention. They automatically look at it because they like it, okay? So I'm driving around, you know, I got "He's Still on the Throne" on, and I got Travis with me, all right? So we're driving around the square in Sullivan, okay? And all these people, they're sitting on, and they just look. Yeah, waving. All right. You know, I couldn't help myself. I was like, all right, you know, but you know, okay, that's their life. And are you going to try to garner the approval of that group? All right? They have what I call a big frog in a small pond syndrome, okay? They think they're all that, but you know what? I don't know any of their names. You don't know any of their names. Nobody knows their name except for five people, okay? Big deal, okay? And honestly, they don't know my name, all right? But so who are you trying to get the approval of? Are you trying to get the approval of the Lord? Or are you trying to get the approval of, you know, the five guys in the vehicles behind you? All right? And that's why I tell the young people, listen, it's not about the peers. It's about honoring God and getting the approval of the Lord. All right? And, you know, when you do that, the world will respect you. The world will respect you. And I hear testimonies of people, men in this church, that work at places. I talked to a guy the other day, and he said, yeah, I work at Merom Power Plant. And it's always nice, guys, when you can say, oh, yeah, you know, Bill English works there. And they call him Tuna. But none of you know him as Tuna, and none of you know him as Charles or Charlie. But Brother Eric Harrison, all right, he works over there, okay? And Brother Dave Liffick used to work over there. And you know what? It's nice being able to say, hey, yeah, I know this guy and this guy and this guy. And every time I say that, oh, those are the greatest guys. That guy's a genuine Christian. And I've had worldly guys say, that guy's a genuine Christian. You know what? That's nice to be able to say that. All right? It's nice not to being able to say, should I mention their name? Is this okay to say? All right? But we should walk uprightly. Just like the eyes of all the world respect you as you... Hang on a second, I didn't word that right. Just as like all the eyes of the world respect you as you stand and relish when you fall, even so God admires you when you stand and is disappointed when you fall. Hey, listen, we're going to fall. Most of us will fall at some point. And, you know, the world, when a Christian falls, that's all the world can talk about. That's what's in the headlines in the paper. That's what everybody talks about when a Christian falls, okay? And they bring that up. They will. But, you know, God's very proud when, you know, it's interesting, go back to the book of Job. Hast thou not considered my servant Job? He said, hey, that's my boy. He honors me. He serves me. Have you considered him? Okay? He basically just threw that in the devil's face. Said, you can say whatever you want about everybody, but have you considered my servant Job? That's my boy. All right? I've always wanted to be the one that someone was glad to have on their team. You know, it's kind of depressing. When you're in grade school, I was always the smallest guy, okay, growing up. And I'm not very big now, all right? I was always the smallest guy, and it was always depressing. You know, when I first was in elementary, I never really necessarily got picked for the team, okay? And it was like, you know, you're the last one. You know, it's like, you can have Chad. That's depressing. When you are volunteered from one team to be on the other team, you can have him. That's not a good feeling, okay? I never wanted to be that. I always wanted to be the guy that, oh, we get him, okay? And you know what? I think that God was like, he's mine. He's on my team, all right? I always wanted to be that for my dad. I always wanted to be, hey, that's, you know, I wanted my dad to be proud of me. That whatever I did was, you know, hey, that's my boy. And I think for God, I want to be that for God too. I want God to look down and say, hey, that's mine. Have you considered my servant, Chad? Okay, but it's not about somebody that's going to fall down before the gods of this world. Have you considered my servant Shadrach? Have you considered my servants Meshach and Abednego? And Satan says, well, let me test them. And you know what? God said, all right, go ahead, test them, throw them in the fire. But who was with them in the fire? God was, and He'll promises He'll always be with you through whatever fire the world has for us. God is watching, and we're going to continue this next week. But when God watches us, when God is looking at us, it shows some different things about when His eyes are on you. That is a good thing. That is a good thing, and we'll talk about that next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for being a wonderful Heavenly Father. And God, I'm sorry where I've disappointed you and not done the things that I should have and not walked uprightly. And Lord, I want to strive to do better at that. And Lord, it's so easy sometimes to just conform to whatever the world's doing. But I pray that we would just take the stand and not be afraid of those around us, but be more concerned about what you're thinking, about what you're seeing. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.